Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Adam Morris, who we're supposed to be recording this in person, but he hates me. He's not a fan of Jen. He didn't want to make the trip over to my house. So we're doing this remotely again. But at least the Dodgers beat the Rockies, so that's good.
I was a fan of Jen. She was cool.
She had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. We kept laughing. Adam, for those of you who don't
that
know...
That other stuff was true, though. Definitely not a fan of yours.
For those of you who've never seen a picture of Adam, just Google Taylor Hicks and you're set.
You're the worst. I can't believe I came on your show for this already. We're like 30 seconds in. I'm already pissed.
We're going to talk today because the Lakers play essentially a home and, well, home. against the Denver Nuggets, we figured we would talk retroactively about the game on Sunday, and then we'll look ahead to the game by the time you guys are listening to this tonight as the Lakers take on the Nuggets at home at Staples Center, LeBron's Staples Center debut. I have a couple things, a couple notes that I want to talk about, but it's going to be a pretty loose conversation. You guys know where to find us on Twitter and on for the show and for my personal and for Adam and all that. Adam hosts Locked On Nuggets. And if you've never heard or if you haven't checked out our NBA show, that's every Friday. That posts usually like Thursday night sometime. So let's get into this thing. LeBron debuts, plays 15 minutes. That was just about double what I thought he was going to play, more than double of what you thought he was going to play. and you know, he was all right. He looked he was very obviously coasting.
He was the one player that I thought was coasting. I thought the intensity was really high from everybody else on the court. Yeah. Except for LeBron. LeBron was clearly just in the like, yeah, this is come on, man.
Yeah. No, it seemed like, you know, somebody from the Lakers talked to him and said, hey, look, just show up, run around in the jersey for a little bit, maybe dunk if you can, and then we'll move on.
And he did that. He did a good job of that. It was a very good cameo, I would say. No, but it was fun. I mean, that was one of the storylines, right? It was just how much hype was around this game from a Lakers fan's perspective. I think there were people outside two and a half hours before tip-off, you know, basically almost like having a tailgate at Chili's, which, you know, it was...
And he's not joking. There was a Chili's in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah. There was a shared parking lot between Chick-fil-A, Chili's, and the place where LeBron made his Lakers debut. So I just want that to be part of the story now.
Valley View Casino Arena. Yeah. You're in a great building when there are four words on the building.
Yeah. It was a long one to type out. You ran out of tweet space.
I thought the vibe in the building was also kind of noteworthy because we've heard a ton. Like, there was even a question asked to LeBron, like, what he's going to have to do to earn the respect of Laker fans. And he didn't like that question too much. But I thought, like, you know, it was a later arriving crowd, which, duh, that's how it works out here. And also, like, getting into the arena, I'm saying this as somebody who purchased a ticket and walked into the arena. It was slow.
I only mentioned this because it is a storyline. They were definitely not prepared for an NBA game. Like, that's not an arena that has protocol for how to handle that. So, so there was that whole, but you know, that actually adds sort of to the mystique of it, you know, like that sort of adds to, his first game. I remember is in this rackety old building and you know, another thing, it was probably as hot as it was in that San Antonio Spurs Miami Heat finals, in 2014. It was so hot in there. I was sweating, like an hour and a half before tip off. So I thought LeBron might get cramps.
He might had he not been given strict instructions not to sprint in that game.
Right.
One last thing about LeBron and some of that stuff. One of the storylines coming into this season was, will LeBron play the five? Will he be the biggest Laker on the court this year?
Yeah.
And he did it in a preseason game. That, you know, that that says something to me. Now it was kind of – I think the disclaimer or the caveat we have to throw on here was that he did that in a preseason game, but Kyle Kuzma matched up against the biggest nugget every time.
No, you don't have to make that – you don't have to make that distinction at all, actually. I think there is no other way to look at this. The Lakers were through that first preseason game was so loud that no, they actually are going to play really, really small lineups. Yeah. And not just for, 3 minutes here or there as sort of a gimmick. It's sort of their rotation, at least in one preseason game, their rotation was to play small a lot. Mm-hmm. And they threw a couple different looks. Obviously, the one you mentioned with LeBron and Kuzma out there, they had other one without LeBron. It just shows how many 6'8" playmakers they have. But it was cool. Whether or not it's going to work in the regular season, it is awesome. Like, those were the most fun minutes of the entire game.
Yeah. It's. I texted you this mid-game that this is going to be a fun matchup throughout the year. They play, what, 3 times? This year?
Well, yeah. So Denver is actually an interesting team for that, right? Because I'm not going to say they owned Golden State. They don't, but they own them relative to how good Golden State is and how good Denver is over the last few years. And that matchup is interesting in part because Golden State likes to play small, but Nikola Jokic is, and guys like Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Davis are this way too. They just, when you go small against them, they dominate. And, and so we had that nice style fight. The Nuggets were prepared for that because obviously they knew all the talk. I think all coaches know what other coaches are doing. So they were prepared. Yeah, we're just going to stay big. Let's see what happens. And yeah, they say styles make fights. I thought from an X's and O's standpoint, that was such a beautiful little contrast.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And like I said, I think it's going to be a fun one to watch. I don't think a scenario is going to play out where the two teams will face each other in the playoffs. But if they do, like, that'd be... I'd watch 6 or 7 games of that matchup. That'd be a lot of fun.
Oh, I think it's absolutely within the realm of possibility. Not certainly below average likelihood, but I think it's very possible.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick second here, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the non-LeBron players. I thought a couple guys, and I mentioned them in yesterday's show, kind of stuck out to me. But there were a couple others that I didn't really get to mention yesterday that I want to run by Adam here, and we'll do that here in a bit. So let's start here. Yesterday, the guy who was second on my list to talk about was Brandon Ingram, and I talked about him quite a bit, so I'm not going to spend another whole segment on it. But offensively, I think it's going to be an awkward fit with LeBron, but defensively, he was everywhere. And that was one of the things that they were talking about in practices thus far, is that Ingram has been really disruptive on defense, and you hear that about a lot of players, but that actually kind of showed out to me.
Well, here's what I think. Defensively, there were some plays he made, but I think as a whole, the Lakers just play really, really fast. Yeah. And with their size on the wing, but they're small but long,
yeah.
And they play fast. And even in the half court, they just help out a lot. It just the tempo of this game was insane. I think it had a 112 offensive rating, or I'm sorry, 112 pace.
That's
which
insane.
Yeah, that's about 12 or 13 possessions faster than average last year, which is really fast. I mean, 12 possessions, that's really fast. So I don't know that he's – I don't know that there was some of the individual defensive stuff that stood out. Of course, I didn't have my eye on it. But what did stand out was just how long the entire team was and how fast they were moving and how quickly the windows closed.
Yeah, I went back and I watched it. I mean, today I'm writing an article right now about Kuzma playing the five and being willing to accept the challenge. Luke Walton was asked him about it, said he saw some good things, saw some bad things. JaVale McGee was asked about small ball fives and what are some of the things. He's a bigger five, obviously, but what are some of the things that smaller players have done against him that have been successful? Yeah. And I thought it was interesting. But regarding Ingram and Kuzma especially – look, I think it's going to take a lot of figuring out because it's so weird. The style of it's not how you would anticipate playing NBA basketball. But when they were out there together, Ingram and Kuzma, I think worked a little too hard and got into foul trouble. But when they were out there, if they really press up on teams, that length bothers some teams.
Well, it absolutely does, and it's a curveball. Obviously, if you would have tried this 4 years ago, it would have been insane. The league has just changed so much in 4 years that even this is an acceptable reality.
Yeah.
But the other part of this is that I thought was interesting. officials are not used to this, right? Yeah. Officials aren't used to teams playing four guys 6'8" and guarding big guys, because there was a lot of calls. I thought Trey Lyles in particular was a guy, but Nikola Jokic as well. Screens, post-ups, little things like that referees just don't know. Either they would call the advantage too much in the favor of the big man or too much in favor of the little guy, but it just seemed like there was a really, really heavy whistle in the game, especially on those switches.
There was. And that's what's crazy, is that they played at such a crazy pace with that whistle is the way it was, right?
And that was also a freedom of motion thing, right? That's a point of emphasis. I wondered if it had something to do with that too, because this was a very – there was just a ton of whistles in this game.
Yeah, well, and what's funny is that, you know, I thought there were whistles that could have been blown still that they missed. Like if they really wanted to call it consistent throughout the game, they could have called a foul on every single play. And I think – I mean, they always do this. They always overcorrect on one of the points of emphasis early in the year, in the preseason, whatever, and then as the year goes along – it kind of regresses to the mean. But, you know, I one of the things that I think with such a small, quick lineup and how fast the Lakers play, like, I never thought – which Plumlee do you guys have? Is it Mason?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Sorry.
You're the best, Anthony. Never change.
Oh, but Mason Plumlee, like, he never really looked comfortable setting a screen because the guys were on him a lot faster than they usually are. And I think the guards who were running guys to the screen, like they have, oh, well, I have a faster guy on me. I can get to the screen faster. But the screeners weren't always set and ready for that kind of situation.
It was a really cool game because it almost felt like a basketball experiment right out of the gate. And I think that's some of the stuff you're referring to, is just the timing and everything was just so different. Everything just was happening so fast. Mason, though, as confused as he was, he did have 11, 8, and 6.
He had a good
in
game.
18 minutes, it was a plus 27. So I think he did okay. I did want to touch on my favorite stat line of the entire evening, and you have to listen to this one. Lance Stephenson, 4 of 5 shooting, 1 of 1 from the three-point line, rebound, 2 assists, a steal, minus 28.
All right, I want to spend a few minutes on this because – this is something, it might be confirmation bias on my part, but I was not on board with the Lance Stephenson signing, and he sticks out like a sore thumb regarding the way that the Lakers want to play. Like, there were multiple times yesterday when he and Luke Walton had back and forths where Luke is, you could very visibly see him saying, move the ball, get the ball out of your hands. And every single time Lance caught the ball, it just stopped. The ball stopped.
I got a lot of takes on these. Are you doing this now or are you taking a break?
Let's take a quick second here, and then when we come back, we'll have a longer third segment so that we can talk. There's a couple more things that I wanted to talk about, but we'll start with Lance here in a second. When you say you have a lot of takes...
No, I actually just have one take about that very point, though, because Lance, you were right. First of all, 4 for 5, he did some nice things in isolation. But I actually thought the Lakers really moved the ball well in their traditional lineups. In their small ball lineups, one of the things that happens, and it happened so much that I thought maybe it was by design, is that they played like the Houston Rockets. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Well, just a lot of isolation, right? They'd run maybe a base or action or two, but they would just look for who has the biggest mismatch. Let's go at them. And that's why Lance Stephenson, you talk about, he held the ball a lot. He played a lot in those sort of small ball lineups, and he was the guy that ended up having Nikola Jokic on him a lot, or Tyler Lydon on him. So he was sort of in position to be the guy to exploit those. The big question is that what the Lakers want to play? Because their main lineup, which I assume will include Brandon Ingram and LeBron James and Lonzo Ball, that's a lineup that has a bunch of great passers and I think playing a nice fluid game. Your second lineup, Kyle Kuzma, Lance Stephenson, Michael Beasley, those are all one-on-one players. That one-on-one is what they do best, and it made me wonder, maybe the game plan is to play this small ball lineup, but to play like the Rockets in those minutes.
Yeah. Luke Walton last year didn't like staggering it. And last year, there were a few times where he said literally that there were sets that the first team would run that the second team didn't run. and that they were, and you know, maybe they're just going to be contrasting styles there. But I really think that I really think that it had a lot to do with the style of play that Lance Stephenson prefers. And again, maybe that's confirmation bias. Maybe that's just me knocking on a guy that I didn't like the signing as a whole.
I don't think it has anything to do with prefers. I think it's really the only style he's going to be effective playing.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I don't want him on the court. Like Kuzma is more of an isolation player, but he doesn't really thrive off of two or three dribble kind of sets. Like he's going to be a one or two dribble kind of move kind of guy, like attack closeouts kind of player. You look at the other Josh Hart, same thing. Like they don't have a lot of guys who have to stop the ball completely to be successful. Whereas like Lance, he has to hesitate like three times or else that was a possession wasted. Like it's just,
it'll be really interesting to see this preseason. I mean, people say you can't glean too much stuff from preseason, and it's true. You can easily overreact, but that's a stylistic thing that either by design or again, just by the character of the players on the roster, I think we're going to see that maybe they are a team that just wants to play isolation basketball with that second unit.
Maybe. All right. So Svi Mykhailiuk goes 1-for-5. And look, I complained at the beginning about how long it took to get into the arena. I'm now going to complain about the playing court itself. I don't know if those baskets were regulation. Svi does not miss four shots in the same game. There's a conspiracy, Adam. I'm legitimately nervous.
Well, he's no Juancho Hernan Gomez, that's for sure.
Dude, Juancho was on fire.
I'm telling people laugh at me because last year he got mono and missed the entire year. But the guy can shoot, man. His shot is so gorgeous.
Yeah, it does look like a nice shot.
Yeah, Svi is fun, man. He went 1-for-5 from three, but it felt like he went better just because his shot is so pretty. He was a guy that I don't feel there was a very good read on because of the minute, not just the minutes he got, but where they came.
Yeah,
I mean, it wasn't a very. That's one you can't really glean too much from, I don't think.
Yeah. Minus 19 for Svi.
Well, he did play 16 minutes.
Yeah. Somehow I don't think he's going to see that many minutes over the course of the year. My last thing that I wanted to mention to you, and this was one of the notes that I made last night and during the game, was Rajon Rondo. Like, had you seen Rondo really play in person before? This is like my second or third time seeing him play.
Yeah, I'd seen him playing in person a handful of times, but he's fun, and then also there's all the little stuff he does just to try to annoy people is like it never stops, and it makes me wonder. He's trying to disrupt other people's thoughts, but man, his mind must 100% of the time be on trolling.
Are you basically saying that Rajon Rondo is the NBA equivalent to my Twitter account?
Probably, yes, exactly. You are. That's a very good one. That's actually exactly what you are.
Damn it.
But trying to disrupt high fives and handshakes and then just pretending to listen to huddle. I mean, just nonstop trolling. It was amazing.
He doesn't stop ever. Like, he is never idle. He is always when he's on the bench, he's talking to the people that are around him. When he's on the court, he's talking to everybody. Even when he's not talking, he's always just kind of like lurking in the background, looking for ways that he can disrupt the play while it's going on or after the fact or whatever. I feel like that's exhausting. Like, the theory that I came to last night was that maybe that's why he's so – like, the gap between playoff and regular season Rondo is so distinct, is that, like, when he's fully focused and all that, that's exhausting to just be going and going. And I don't think he could carry that over the course of an 82-game season.
I feel the same way about Lance. He was talking so much trash and dancing and doing all those things. He was a minus 28. I just kept thinking, like – this guy can't not talk trash no matter the moment.
Isaiah Thomas was talking some trash. Did you see that?
Yeah, he was. I think that's what he does for sure. Plus, you know, the relationship with those guys. He was having a good time,
he
I think.
He kept standing up from the bench, and I had no idea he was standing.
Oh, gosh.
Any last notes before I let you go? By the way, guys, this is going to be a two-part episode here. So this is part one. And then we're going to head into part two here. We're going to record that in a little bit. But any last thoughts before we sign off here and throw to your show?
No.
Okay. Well, thanks, Adam. I greatly appreciate the effort here, you troll. I guess that'll do it. I guess there's nothing else left to say. I'm kind of bummed. Is Gary Harris going to play on Tuesday?
We don't know. He's still listed as questionable as the time of recording this. We'll probably know in the morning. My guess is no.
Lonzo's already been ruled out as well. So that's a bummer. I'd like to see these teams play at full strength. I think it's a fun matchup.
Well, actually, that I do have a final note now that you mention it. I've always thought, you know, LeBron's the smartest guy on the court, and the more you play a guy, the more he's the kind of guy that reads you the more than you read him. And I did find it weird. Denver playing LA twice in the preseason. They play him in like 4 weeks in the regular season. It's like game five or four or something like that. So man, I thought that was kind of weird.
Yeah, I think these teams will be very well acquainted. And when you factor in the stuff that went on between Jamal Murray and Lonzo Ball last year, like I was surprised
Jamal Murray didn't. That was not a storyline at all.
I was surprised he didn't get like any booing. Like nobody cared when he was on the court. It was crazy.
You know, you want to know something weird? This Lakers team just feels like a different team than last year. I know obviously LeBron does that, but for some reason, because Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma were such big, and Lonzo Ball, such big parts of the team, and they feel like much smaller parts of the team now that it almost, there was no, and it was also preseason, but there just didn't seem to be any of those moments. Nobody going at each other or anything like that. It was, I don't know, feels like a different team to me.
I feel like that's the kind of thing we'll see in the third time they play this year.
Yeah.
Like in that first regular season game, I think you'll see it be a little bit more chip. I mean, preseason, like, the main goal in preseason is don't get hurt.
It's like, but I think the bigger point I was making was just that this team feels very, very different. So it almost feels like the rivalry doesn't make sense because that was not a completely different team, but a different enough team that it's something different now.
No, I would roll with your theory that it was a completely different team, right? Like we used to the previous rivalry we thought was going to be between D'Angelo Russell and Emmanuel Mudiay.
Yeah, that was the original, the worst rivalry ever in sports.
Saddest rivalry ever.
Nobody won that one. Everybody lost that rivalry.
Now the rival carries over to the vaunted Knicks and Nets rivalry,
which is where it belongs because that's also not a rivalry. Perfect.
I would agree. All right, that'll do it then for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Once again, a little bit shorter one. I don't want to hammer too deep because I feel like the longer these episodes go, the more crazy the theories get and stuff. So these are going to be a little shorter as the sample sizes remain so small. And then we're going to hop over to, in this, for tonight's or for today's purposes, make sure you guys go and check out Adam's Locked On Nuggets show for part two of this conversation where I get to troll Adam about his Nuggets, who were being hung tight with by the Lakers despite bringing over basically their entire roster from last year. So, way to go, Denver. Go Dodgers.